This is Steve Hiles welcoming you to episode 16 of the Teacher Rockstar Podcast, a place where tips and strategies critical to the new teacher are discussed. In today's episode, we will discuss how to create a productive instructional learning environment for classroom success. But before we begin, a word from our sponsor. Teachers, I'd like to share with you my free Let's Write a Book activity for grades 3 through 5, which includes templates and step-by-step directions for creating their very own mini book. I just know that your kids will absolutely love this activity. It's the perfect activity for a writer's workshop lesson. All you have to do is go to getstartedonthewrightfoot.com. That's getstartedonthewrightfoot.com to get your free copy. Okay, let's dive right in. It has been long debated in the teaching community around the fact that all students have different needs. It can become almost impossible to set up a class where every student can benefit equally and learn the same skills. Like the students, not every teacher, institute, the class the kids are in, and resources are not the same, even if they are being taught the same curriculum. Students in the same grade in different settings perform accordingly. Before we take an in-depth look at today's topic, it is beneficial to understand that a class setting is not just about the type of furniture that's in the room or other infrastructural elements. It's much, much more than that. Small things matter and play a vital role, but it goes way beyond. The way a teacher allows students to interact with their environment and surroundings is one of the critical elements that, if neglected, change the whole student's mindset. Here are some tips every teacher could use to set up a more productive instructional learning environment for classroom success. I will be discussing 10 tips. Number one, encourage them to lay out goals and priorities. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, knowing what they want to accomplish, where they want to end up, and what's important to them helps the students with their curriculum and other activities. It promotes a student's ability to plan their individual goals in class and in life. Number two, help them get organized. Having a daily planner in the classroom and allowing students to participate in the organizing process, like assigning them active turns to manage class resources, books, and other materials, brings a sense of responsibility in each of the students. They understand the value of things and learn personal organization through these small activities in the class. The idea here is to expose them to the benefits of being organized in as well as outside of class. Number three, encourage students to engage with peers and educators. Encouraging children participating in classwork and other joint activities is as simple as listening to their opinions and asking them for their feedback. As a teacher, you help your students develop interpersonal skills and improve their communication skills. This practice makes them more confident, especially during oral assessments. Even the brightest minds can stammer while answering a question or asking someone if they do not know how to approach someone properly. This practice improves the atmosphere of the class significantly. Number four, make the classroom physically welcoming. Now, this is very, very important, and I want to make it clear to new teachers that this is really something that you really need to take a look at, okay? Let's talk about it. Usually, school sounds like jail to those who are not active in their studies, and it's not the students' fault. They don't know any better, and that's why they're called students, right? Well, creating an environment that appeals to your students makes a noticeable difference. It can be as simple as adding framed images of useful facts and lessons that you are currently studying. Small educational ornaments like a skeleton in a biology class. These small changes to the setting makes it easier for them to get comfortable in the classroom. Since there may not be much visual stimulation on a whiteboard for them to focus on, they can interact with other observable things in the classroom. And I guess what I'm trying to say here, ultimately, children should be made to feel at home in their classroom. I think that really goes without saying. Let's take a look at number five. Introduce a fun grading system for your class. Now, when you are the primary teacher, most schools do not interfere with the teacher's instructional practices. Okay, You can take advantage of such liberties and find out fun ways to teach your class. You cannot change the time, perhaps, or the student textbooks that you have to work with, but you can move away somewhat from the traditional grading system. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, for example, instead of using ABC letter grades, you can make small badges with cardstock with their names on them and fun acronyms like Champion of the Week, the Scientist, or the Doctor. They can keep the badge and create their collection of the trophies they had won in the class. Fun little ways that make them aware of their progress encourage other students to earn recognition as well. Tip number 6, make students aware of their failures without telling them that they have failed. Now, this is really critical here. In continuation of what I've just talked about, it is implausible that every student will somehow miraculously start performing exceptionally. Failures are part of learning, and let's face it, when we are told that we have failed, it gives us the feeling of being let down. Students can get overwhelmed, and it is easier to give up rather than pressing forward. Instead, refer to their mistakes as learning experiences. Will change the tone of the problem being discussed and a student's perspective towards failure. Our usual education system forces students to remember their mistakes as if it's their fault. Telling them they had a learning experience rather than making a mistake or have failed significantly changes the mood of the child. In accordance, identification of what caused the mistake motivates the student on the area they lacked. Maybe they didn't understand something properly or were shy to ask you in front of the classroom. Taking time to discuss individual mistakes in small one-on-one sessions that can be conducted efficiently within class encourages students to ask what they couldn't understand in the first place. And this brings us to tip number 7. Arrange class-level sessions to discuss real-world issues. We teach history in schools to inform the kids about the beginnings of our nation, how we got where we are as a country, and how much the world has moved in the past century or so. Still, current affairs and real-world problems are rarely discussed. Now, this does not have to be followed aggressively, but taking time to discuss issues like global warming, world hunger, and global poverty, as well as illiteracy, anything that is appropriate for their level of understanding gives them an idea beyond the walls of school and the comfort of their home. This makes them feel grown up, and their mind may wander to see what role they have been playing in the situation that's being discussed. One thing a kid loves the most is being treated like a grown-up. Kids like to take responsibility if they understand what they are responsible for. Exposing them to ideas like, you know, for example, how money works or how a doctor becomes a doctor and how engineers have made it possible for us to travel the world in just days instead of months opens their minds towards perceiving the world in which they live. Not every kid is creative and perceptive as others, but it never harms if they can identify who they want to be when they grow up. Tip number 8, celebrate the success. No matter how small the occasion is, a form of encouragement teaches kids to be happy for their peers if they achieve a collective goal or personal, if they make a mistake or fail to perform up to standard. Creating harmony among students takes them out of the concept of individuality, makes them team players. This essential skill set is necessary to survive in today's corporate world. Tip number 9, encourage student-centered learning. In a world where access to information is available 24/7, the teacher is no longer the well-acknowledged or the sage on the stage. The role of the teacher is changing. Arthur C. Clarke once said, "If a machine can replace a teacher, they should be." To be priceless, working toward more student learning is critical. It means not all learning is required to go through the teacher. For example, why managing discussions instead of all the dialogue coming from the teacher, invite each one of the students to assist in a think-pair-share strategy. First of all, give them time to think about their responses. Secondly, pair them up in groups so they can converse and chat, share their ideas with a partner, and lastly, invite students to share their or their partner's ideas. The safer your classroom environment is, folks, the more thoughtful and meaningful the discussion is likely to be. Doesn't this just make sense? To encourage a self-directed approach, explicitly teach students what to do when they are stuck or don't know what to do. If they are always coming to you for help, your classroom is still teacher-centered. Now, this is a good point here. Think about it. Talk with your students about their options for when they are stuck. Now, here's a couple things you could do, teachers. Create a poster or an anchor chart as a reminder. Those are two of my favorites. The last tip, tip number 10, create strong rituals. You may have heard the phrase, don't smile till Easter, and it relates to taking time at the beginning of the year to instill routines and rituals which will sustain learning for the rest of the year. Once your practices are set in place, you should step back and let the students, as Nike says, just do it. If you are still instructing students on how to do a routine task later in the school year, you have either not embedded the routine enough or have not let go of needing to be in control. And I find that really hard for a lot of teachers. But decide which routines will be important in your class. Now, here are a few ideas. The greeting ritual. How they should positively and personally greet each student every day. What to do when you have completed the task. What to do as a teacher if a student comes in late. How children should enter or exit the class. An end of class ritual. How might you reinforce the learning at the end of a class or lesson? Now, ideas include, now this is just obviously not an exhaustive list, but just some things. Exit tickets. Conduct sharing circles. Have students write in journals. And there are many, many more things that you can do. Well, this brings us to the end of this episode, and I want to thank you for listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. Again, I hope you've enjoyed listening to these tips and strategies on creating a productive instructional learning environment for classroom success. Take a moment to visit my blog, and don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter for the latest educational research, freebies, and unadvertised bonuses at stevesclassroomresources.blogspot.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. And if you'd like to support us, please feel free to share our podcast with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. That would be very much appreciated. Well, thanks again, folks, for tuning in, and we'll see you same time, same place next week. And remember always, teachers, you got this.